Welcome home. We are WNST, Taos and Baltimore. And Baltimore Positive, we hope that you set a spot at AM 1570 on your radio dial. If you're out there listening right now, we do appreciate that. So do all of our sponsors. Many of them annual and re-upping and recurring, including our friends at Wise Markets. Big appreciation to them for all they do for us in these Wise Conversations, as well as Royal Farms powering up the coffee in my Cole Roofing mug here this morning. Bill Cole's been AWOL. Ever since he and I went out and got roughed up in Vegas a couple weeks ago, I can't find him anymore. Maybe get him down to a ball game. Thought I was going to head down to some of the Braves games this week. I am not doing the Phillies this weekend, but I am doing Fleet Week. We're going to be at Cooper's in Fells Point on Friday. I am wearing my Costas shirt. We're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. They were established in 71. I was established in 68. We're going to be over there on Thursday afternoon. Jessica Vallis from Hartford Designs, who just redid our entire website. So if you've been to our website lately, you'll see lots of things have changed around there. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll have crab cakes. We will have the Orioles and the Yankees on the television on Thursday, and the Gold Rush Sevens doublers that have been a lucky batch. We had some winners over Coco's. If you heard any of our programming, Mike Resigliano came by. I loved having Max Weiss and Alan McCallum talk music and movies. We did very little sports in that segment. And then Tom Pierce from Classic Five, who is a Philadelphian by birth, a Baltimorean by choice, talking Phillies and Orioles all weekend long. And Marcella gave me crab cakes and ribs and Korean food. I mean, who knows what you can get in Lauraville? We're at Costas on Thursday. We're at Pappas on the 25th. We're getting out into the community, making our way around. I've got a Coco's crab cake sitting down in the fridge right now that I got to put under the fryer. And the football players have dispersed. So as much as Luke is Mr. Baseball here, all I can think about is Tom Selleck and you having wah when I think of Mr. Baseball. You've been football all week, and as we all know, as I will be writing about later in the summer, only one of us is credentialed, not the Venezuelan, at either place. I've been a bad boy. But you had double duty, and Thursday's a great example, and I will use this for Chad Steele and for Greg Bader to say, when there's only one of you and two of them, you have to pick one. So you did Ravens camp. They're about to depart for – I don't know, a good 6-8 weeks here. You tell me when camp starts again. I'm not on the email list. But a quiet kind of exactly what you wanted, right? I mean, you missed a couple baseball games out of this, but good football practices, people showing up, the Marlon Humphrey news on Thursday. Boy, they always keep a little something up their sleeve just to let you know they're not honest and they're not upfront and they're not going to offer things like the Marlon Humphrey thing.
Well, I mean, the Marlon Humphrey thing wasn't, I assume, wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, Harbaugh said he's just dealing with some little things. And look, he was out on the field. It's not as though they're hiding like a torn ACL or anything like that, but he's been limited with something. Is it anything, you know, the remnants of some of the injuries he had last year? I mean, I wouldn't think so, but it's, you know, kind of continues the concern about Marlon Humphrey and his availability and knowing
well, you're
how much
injured,
money
you haven't played
making.
Football in 6 months. That's not good.
Sure. Well, again, though, I mean, he's going to be ready for training camp. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that. To me, the one of the stories of minicamp was that they're in relatively, not even relatively, they're in good shape health wise. I mean, they are. There's one guy that I we know will not be out there the first day of training camp, and that's Keaton Mitchell, as he's continuing to recover from the ACL. We knew that he injured his knee in mid-December. If he plays, if he's ready to come back at Thanksgiving, that's a bonus, right? I mean, that's where we are with him. And, you know, if he can be a change of pace for Derrick Henry in December and January, then great. You know, you'll welcome that. But beyond him, you know, I think there's some other guys like Nick Samak, the seventh round center that they drafted from Michigan State, who broke his fibula at the end of last year. You could tell he's still limited. So does he begin the year on, you know, begin training camp on one of the NFI lists or something like that? Maybe. But other than that, they're really healthy. And the good thing, the best news about, as you pointed out, a pretty uneventful mandatory minicamp week. Let's compare it to last year. Odell Beckham Jr. had arrived in Owings Mills, and that was a big deal because he hadn't been there for OTAs. 2 years ago, it was Lamar showing up after skipping of all of OTAs and not knowing what his contract situation was going to bring. This year, this week, it was quiet, and that's a good thing. You want uneventful in mid-June. And the best news was they navigated the week And, you know, they got the work done that they wanted to get done. How much is it really worth? You know, how valuable is it in the big picture? Probably not all that valuable. You know, I think even coaches privately would say that they kind of just want to be able to keep tabs on these guys and get some work in and start building your foundation. But the worst thing that can happen this time of year is if someone suffers, heaven forbid, a season ending injury or an injury that's going to keep you out through all a training camp and disrupt what you want to do on either side of the ball. And they didn't have any of that. So, you know, a few guys banged up here and there. Marlon Humphrey, Michael Pierce, by the way, did not do very much at all during mandatory mini camp. So, you know, is there a conditioning issue there? We've seen that in the past, but, you know, Michael Pierce, do you really need to see him running around in mid-June? Probably not. You know, gives a chance to get more reps for guys like Travis Jones working with the ones. So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I thought it was all that consequential in terms of news and headlines and all that. We saw some different offensive line combinations, you know, a few clues here and there in terms of what the pecking order might be for three open spots. But beyond that, you know, you got some highlight plays here and there, some plays that need some work, you know, some pre-snap penalty issues, but nothing that changes the trajectory of this football team, which we expect to be really, really good, even if they'll have a tough time matching the regular season success of last year. But when you're in the position that the Ravens have been in here in recent years, we know it's all about January. So nothing that happened in June feels like it will be remotely consequential unless someone gets hurt. And they did not sustain any serious injuries, anything along those lines. So with that being said, it was a successful week, even if it was a pretty uneventful week. This will certainly not be one of those mini camps that I'll be thinking about even in 6 weeks as they're reconvening in Owings Mills starting off training camp. I don't think I'm going to be thinking back to anything that happened the week of mandatory minicamp.
That's good. That means nobody got hurt. That means that nothing catastrophic happened. All of the good things we would talk about at the beginning of the week that the organization hoped to accomplish. I came really close to buying that Derrick Henry Oilers jersey. I didn't buy it. It got away. It was the right size. I was afraid it must have stunk or something for $20, but I should have bought it. The Derrick Henry thing for you, and you and I are going to, we'll reevaluate this every Monday for, you know, 18 weeks. I don't say you were in the other camp, but this is fun. This is what makes our conversation, like, we feel differently about Lamar. I get beaten up on the YouTube comments every day about that. I think you and I have felt differently about Derrick Henry. I am much more bullish on this being a tack for them to take to win a championship that having that kind of guy in January when the weather might not be good here, there, or anywhere. And he seems to be happy here. And Eric seems to be like, we got a guy, not a maybe. But the whole thing about running backs is they've been so devalued that anybody can run the ball. We can draft anybody in the third or fourth round. We can Keaton Mitchell it out unless he gets hurt, or we don't have to Saquon Barkley our running back situation from a draft perspective. Draft collateral perspective. Where are you on the Henry thing now that it's marinated a little bit? Because you and I aren't going to talk about football for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. And we'll get together and it'll be all this pitter patter in August and fake football and injuries and nags and all that. And then Kansas City's going to happen. So we're 3 months out on that. I have not had the full Monty on Derrick Henry with you, other than you're way more worried about the offensive line. I'm sure you'll bring that up. Where are you with Derrick Henry in regard to this being a successful acquisition? And we look at it not in week 10 or 12 or 14, because as you've pointed out, we're not going to judge this team at Thanksgiving. We're going to judge this team at the last hour of their existence in January, or when there's a parade in February, or not a parade in February. But that is the expectation. You know, getting to the second round of the playoffs won't mean much around here. Oh, we had Derrick Henry. He ran the ball well. Great. We got beat. Where are you with Derrick Henry?
You just took the words out of my mouth. I mean, look, I've never been down on Derrick Henry thinking that he's washed up or any of the kind of silly things that you hear. Although 2000 career carries is 2000 career carries. I mean, that's a lot. You know, he's going to turn 31 in early January. You know, that's old. It's really old for running backs. I mean, it is. That said, I've watched the same guy everyone else has. It's never been that I love the player. My point over and over again was You were first in rushing last year. You were first in rushing in 2020. You were first in rushing in 2019. In the aggregate, I just don't know how much better you get. And that's why it goes exactly to what you just said. I'm unmoved by what the statistics are going to look like in September, October, November, and December. Again, they have never had issues running the football. Is he going to help you win games in January? You know, he might not have his best regular season. You know, there is the possibility with him being 30 years old that he does slow down some. And it wasn't all about the Titans' offensive line just stinking last year. Although I still think when you really peel it back, I think that was the main reason why he averaged a career low, you know, for yards per carry. But I think, you know, again, it just speaks to how high the bar has already been for their running game. You know, I hear people say over and over that Lamar is not going to run as much. Is that really? I don't know. Let me be clear about this. I'm not talking about the extreme example like the Minnesota game a couple years back where he ran 22 times or whatever it was. On average, though, I look at Lamar running the football, and why do you want to discourage that? It's amazing what he does. So I understand the whole.
You want to discourage idea. It because you got $200 million more into him and you need him in January.
But that's part of the reason why you paid him $260 million.
This is why the whole thing felt like a bad idea to me that night in Canton, by the way. Like, literally.
It's not.
Because this is a crazy.
It's not a bad idea.
A
it was. You were wrong about that.
You're
going to
pay
about
him to
that.
Run, then you don't want him to run. Then
and that's my
you're
point.
Taking away what he does. But what he does is dangerous.
And what I'm saying is I don't think that's going to go away. So, look, Derrick Henry's going to. He's going to be very successful, right? I don't know if that means he's going to run for 2,000 yards like he did a few years back. I don't think that's going to happen, but he's going to be successful here. But again, in the aggregate, they've been amazing running the football. And, you know, Gus Edwards was a heck of a back for them for multiple years. So there's been some of that going on. Look, Gus was not as good last year. And I think part of this was the Ravens recognizing that Gus Edwards probably isn't giving us what he gave us pre-knee injury, and we need someone with a little more clout. And obviously Derrick Henry does that. The understatement of the day as we're talking about this. So nothing's really changed. I mean, what did you want me to say? Like, oh, he looks great in mandatory minicamp. I've completely changed my mind. Like, this was never me saying I hated it or anything like that. It was, you've got a lot of roster needs. Going into the offseason, my biggest thought wasn't giving a running back $9 million.
But there is a thought that if you were to have spent that money on, let's say, Zeitler and Moses, let's say they're a year younger and you feel better, and you've got an $8 million guard and a $7 million tackle, that's better spent than $12 million on a running back. Like, something in your mind, but that's you reading all of these websites and all the analytics that we could just draft a 23-year-old that's going to be better. We've done that. We tried that, right? Or the Mark Ingram theory, which I liked him more as a player than apparently you did, and you spend more time in the locker room than I do. But I don't think they've been the same offense without a hoss. Now, they thought they had a hoss. They drafted a kid out of Ohio State, like all of that, but it didn't work. And now they're going with this way. Look, I got a lot of problems with Eric DaCosta. He knows this. Everyone around him knows this. But I don't have any problem with the football side of this. And I've always been down with this. And I think, dude, if they win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be the first one locked out while you're having a good time. Where's the Super Bowl this year? New Orleans?
Oh, I
don't
I
even know.
Think? I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Well, you'll be there having
a good
time.
Put me on the spot there.
And I'll be the one on Zoom with you and when you're hungover after the parade in New Orleans saying, I told you so. To me, I love this move. I've loved everything about it because I don't love Lamar running. Like, to you, I don't love my
insane
quarterback running into linebackers. So I have the exact – I don't dislike Lamar. I dislike Lamar when he runs 16 times in week 8 and then can't play the rest of the year, which we've seen happen to in the last three.
Got hurt as a passer both times he got hurt, but go ahead.
I love when you retort with that, but the risk of
because
it,
it's facts.
Fair enough.
It's fact. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be too.
I just, we're going to have this argument, this debate the rest of the year. I like Derrick Henry better at running back as I go to bed in June And I think Eric DaCosta, as he goes on vacation with his family, he sleeps better than he would with a rookie or a banged up rookie or a guy who was hurt last year. Or like, now that being said, he's going to sleep not knowing who his right guard and right tackle are, right? I mean, but he drafted for that and they believe in that. We'll see how that works out. But it is it's whack-a-mole. You only have so much money. And they've decided to spend it this way after doing it the other way. And as Lamar gets older, I want him to run less. But to your point, if he runs less, he's less valuable to some degree.
I mean, the truth is somewhere in the middle with that. I mean, when you and I have, and we've had this general debate slash argument for the better part of 6 years now, 7 years at this point, the truth is always somewhere in the middle. No, I don't want to see him run 22 times, but no, Lamar becoming a pocket passer and only running two times a game is also like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? There's middle ground here. And I guess my point has always been, and Keaton Mitchell was the latest to prove this, is because Lamar Jackson is there, my thought was always, why do you need to spend and have that luxury of a high profile, highly paid back? Because just Lamar's mere threat to run makes everyone better. And Keaton Mitchell is the latest example of that. Gus Edwards was an undrafted free agent who averaged 5 yards per carry year after year after year, other than the year he was hurt.
Well, let's try it with a Hall of Famer and see how it goes, right?
Okay. But I just, you know, how much better does Derrick Henry have to be for that to be justified? And again, that goes back to what happens in January.
Right. They ran the ball four times in a game. If they do that with Derrick Henry, he won't be very effective.
And part of it is also Lamar Jackson had a number of opportunities in that game to take off, and he didn't. And
do you think they look back at that game specifically and said, if we had Derrick Henry in that game, we would have run the ball more and more effective? I mean, I do wonder about that because
you and I have
had conversations the last two trading deadlines about whether adding Derrick Henry and going all in October when maybe the Titans wanted to give him away a couple of times and dump his salary. And lo and behold, they clearly coveted him, dude. Clearly,
yeah,
Eric DaCosta listens to WNST or at least subscribes to my theory in regard to Derrick Henry, because I've been pimping Derrick Henry from the beginning. So no one's could be more all in. Now, it is a little late in the game. It would have looked better last year. I don't know that they're going to get to the champion. You know, a lot of things are going to have to go right for them to be 13-4 again this year and be hosting championship games to have that opportunity. But, and look, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the championship game and run. I mean, the last thing they want to do is have Chad Steele give me a press pass and go back out there and say, John, about that championship game and the running. Like, he's been thinking about this for 6 months because they pooped the bed, dude. I mean, and when you look back at the game plan around the country, when I talk to JT, when I talk to football people, when I do their shows in other markets and they talk to me about the Ravens, it all comes back to what the hell were you guys doing in a championship game not running the ball? And they have to pound on that, whether you're asking questions or whether it's not cool to ask. That's last year. We'll talk about the pay, like whatever John would say. They didn't talk a lot about that, as much as the fan base was pissed off about it. But they've alleviated that because they have a guy who can run. I mean, and I don't know that they had the right build for doing this 6 months ago.
Fair enough. And let me be clear. I am not at all suggesting when I'm not doing cartwheels over that signing back in March, I was not at all suggesting that the Ravens were completely fine at running back either. Let me be very clear about that. There are multiple ways to address that. And my thought was, you know, do something like the Bengals did, for example, which Bengals got rid of Joe Mixon and Zach Moss, the guy from Indianapolis, who, by the way, ran against the Ravens really well early last season, who signed for a fraction of what Derrick Henry got. I thought that was one way to, okay, you address the running back position. You look, you know, draft a back like the Ravens ultimately did. Although, you know, I'm not sure Rasheen Ali is going to really be much of a factor as a running back this year. Who knows? Maybe he will be, depending on what happens, because they're going to need someone else besides Derrick Henry. And, you know, is Justice Hill that guy? He will be if he's healthy, but we also know Justice Hill has had a career of getting nicked up from time to time. Last year was the healthiest he had stayed.
And a fumbling.
Can you count on that? Can you count on that 2 years in a row? So let me, again, I can't be more crystal clear. This was never, oh, Derrick, that signing was terrible. They were fine. No, it was never that. It was, okay, I agree. You need to do a dress running back. Is that the way I would use my limited resources? You know, I'm not so sure. And it's more of that. And also, Derrick Henry, at some point in time, now it might be when he finally retires and he's sitting on his couch on Sundays, but at some point in time, he is going to slow down. And it's a lot of wear and tear. I mean, 2,000 career carries we're talking about. So it's a lot. It's a whole lot.
I love how you look at him as a used car. It's great. What? We're going to be so flippant. You should have a lot of fun with that. I hope he stays healthy, and I hope they're good. And I hope he's a part of it, because it was fun watching Jamal Lewis run the ball here.
Absolutely. And again, I love Derrick Henry as a player. But it's also, you have three spots on the offensive line to, how's this going to look? You know,
we spent 15 minutes talking about the running back.
Right. And you have... There's still some questions about the pass rush or the number three safety or whatever. And look, none of that is me sitting here saying that this team's in major trouble. No, this team's going to be really good again. And they were going to be really good again, whether Derrick Henry was running the ball for them or not. All of this is about what happens in January. So look, Derrick Henry's going to run for $150 at some point, and you're going to spike the ball. And I'm going to say, okay, is that January? If he runs for $150 in the AFC championship game, and that's a major reason why they're going to the Super Bowl, then absolutely, you'll look at this move and say, well done. It was great. But at the same time, I'll continue to go back to, you know, you need your quarterback to play his best football in that spot. And Patrick Mahomes outplayed Lamar Jackson and other players on that, both sides of the ball. You know, whether we're talking about early in the game for the defense or those penalties at the end of the first half that allowed Kansas City to get an extra three, which loomed large in that game, you know, they all need to step up. So yeah, the running game was part of that. And yeah, they could have run the ball more, and they didn't have a great deal of trust in Gus Edwards and Justice Hill at that point in time. But I would also point out, and I've written about this, I've talked about this, this team was not nearly as run heavy, especially in early down situations. If you go back and look at the numbers over the course of the season, they threw the ball a lot more than they had in those situations under Greg Roman. You know, when you look at their early down passing rate, when, you know, it's called a game neutral scenario. In other words, when you're either not way ahead or way behind, you know, when it's a close game, they threw the ball a lot on early downs throughout the year. And the running game had really been when they established leads and they were grinding out. So, you know, now that could be an argument for Derrick Henry one way or the other, whether you're talking about that or whether you're talking about just, you know, the fact that they only ran the ball. You know, running backs had, what, three carries or whatever it was, six carries. So, you know, I mean, we're going to see how this plays out. But it's never down on this in the sense that I think Derrick Henry's washed up or that this was a dumb move or anything like that. It's just in terms of, okay, you have X number of salary cap dollars available to you. How do you want to spend them?
Well, and if the offensive line gets them blown up, if it gets Lamar blown up, Derrick Henry can't run the ball, we're going to blame Derrick Henry and say he stinks, he's old. We're also going to look at the offensive line of young, unproven players getting beaten and saying this is holding the team back in week six. So we're going to have that opportunity.
Sure.
And this is the opportunity for them to say, and we could also have Derrick Henry's washed up and the offensive line is fine, or Derrick Henry is finally injured, or Father Time has caught up to him. But the question marks to me aren't about Derrick Henry. The question marks are about the offensive line. I think Derrick Henry's an is.
Totally.
And I'm with you. And you've already said, I love the player. Derrick Henry will be successful. I've got you on tape saying that. So I can't give you any more ish about not loving Derrick Henry, but what I should say about you don't love the offensive line right now. Maybe that's what I'll start with.
Well, and part of what I just said is he'll be successful because Lamar Jackson is there. And just like every other running back they've had, and including guys that they brought up, you know, look at the Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman year. You know, they brought those guys in off the street and they still had a good running game that year. Why? Because of Lamar Jackson. So I guess, again, for me, it's you've always been able to do something at a really high level. So that to me was a thought of maybe I allocate my limited salary cap resources elsewhere. And that was always the gist of my argument. that simple. You know, it's not, oh, Derrick Henry stinks or anything.
You know what,
like that.
What makes you a better team in January for me, and what makes me a better team in January, is Derrick Henry getting off the bus. And I've said that from the beginning. Sure. I want to see Derrick Henry get off the bus, and I want to have another weapon back there that's not eight.
Fair enough. But
when I need to run the ball,
I will say this. That, to me, was never an issue for them prior to this past January. Like that, I never thought in the Gus Edwards years where he was really productive, or the years where J.K. Dobbins was productive, or, you know, to your point, Mark Ingram, you know, and it's not like they spent major money on Mark Ingram either.
Well, they won a lot of games here. It's not like we could pick on anything.
And
but at the end of the day, would you rather have Derrick Henry or them? I'd rather have Derrick Henry. It's like, would I rather have, you know, Travis Kelce than, and I'm not that Mark Andrews. I mean, that's a bad example. But would I rather have a really good wide receiver or, you know, what we have here right now? You know, and
I guess my point. And, you know, as I'm saying this, and I don't want to belabor this. And by the way, I want to bring up something that Willie Taggart said, you know, the running backs coach this week, which was really interesting. And we haven't talked about that element of the Derrick Henry addition as much. But, you know, I guess my point is, if the Ravens are breaking through this year, I'm not convinced it's because of Derrick Henry, even though I think he's going to be and is. And, you know, I think he's going to be perfectly good and all that. I wonder if it's more Lamar hitting another level as a passer, or I think this is a really interesting element, integrating both Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely on the field at the same time. Can it become, and I don't say this in terms of any of the off the field stuff, but can it become something that resembles what Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez were for the Patriots a decade ago, where you go look at their numbers and you nearly had 2,000 yard tight ends. I think.
And does that make the wide receivers better too?
Well, and those elements to me are still more compelling for me in terms of this team finding that level to get over the hump in January.
Well, that's why you're pissed about the offensive line, because all of that's going to take great offensive line play.
Right. So again, I'm not even ticked. Like, it's more, this may not have been the way that I would have done it. And look, no one cares what I think. I'm not a general manager, and Eric DaCosta's success speaks for itself. You learn from Ozzie Newsome, and his success speaks for itself. So you know, it's just that. But Willie Taggart, one thing you and I haven't talked about a lot, which is actually a really interesting element, and I'm still curious to see how it fits perfectly. The Ravens, we know they've run so much shotgun and pistol formation from the moment Lamar Jackson took over. I mean, that's evident, right? I mean, that happened overnight because Lamar ran almost exclusively from shotgun at Louisville. So that's how they've run. Tennessee, however, Derrick Henry did not run from shotgun a whole lot. So I think that is an interesting element that more than a few observers, you know, whether we're talking fans or, you know, film junkies on Twitter or even some media, Willie Taggart, the Ravens running backs coach this week, acknowledged that was something that was a question in his mind when they were scrimmaging the possibilities of what they were going to do and bringing in Derrick Henry, who, by the way, you mentioned this and I meant to throw this out there. Eric DaCosta confirmed they tried to get him at the trade deadline last year. That's been confirmed. That's out there. That's no longer speculation. That's just the truth.
He was listening to the show.
So he's been on their radar for at least a year, you know, let's say. But Willie Taggart flat out acknowledged that was something that he had some questions about. Now, he said all the right things as far as when I've seen the big man come in here and I see the way he moves and how quick he still is and all of that. And look, Derrick Henry's that's why I said, I mean, I didn't expect, even if I have some skepticism about the philosophical decision here, it's not like I expected Derrick Henry to look washed up in the spring or anything like that. I mean, you know, it looks like Derrick Henry. He's amazing. He's an amazing specimen to watch up close. I mean, guy has the longest legs. I mean, it's like watching a racehorse. It's amazing. But Willie Taggart talked about this, and I do think it will be interesting knowing that when you watch Derrick Henry, and this is where you make the Jamal Lewis comparison. It does take him, you know, a second to really get going and accelerate, you know, and that's why he's been such a good outside runner where he hits the corner and, man, he just hits another gear. So with it being more shotgun and pistol, and I'm sure, the Ravens will say, well, we run under center some, and they'll probably do that a little more than they did last year or the year before that. But I do think that's a fair question in terms of how it fits, how smoothly that transition goes. And that doesn't, again, that this isn't me saying it will fail or it's not going to work. But it is different because Derrick Henry's used to running, you know, with a quarterback under center. I mean, that's mostly what he did. Now, the little bit that Tennessee did it last year or in recent years, he's been successful. So, but if the Ravens running backs coach even acknowledges that, that's at least a fair thing to point out there. So that's just one element of the discussion and the debate that you and I have had that we haven't necessarily brought up a whole lot. But, you know, that it was very interesting because, as you know, Nestor, I mean, these most of these assistant coaches are very much trained to not say a whole lot or encouraged to not say a whole lot. And, you know, Willie Taggart admitted that he had some questions about that. He said, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of wondering about that because Derrick Henry has not been that running back that's played next to a quarterback in shotgun or behind a quarterback in the pistol. So, but he also said that his questions or concerns about that have been alleviated. So again, I'll go back full circle to what we said at the beginning. It's all about January. You know, Derrick Henry rushes for 1500 yards and all that, but then, you know, gets stopped or they don't use him in the playoffs or whatever happens where he's not much of a factor and they get beat. Then we're going to look at the move and say, not necessarily that it was a bad move, but we'll say, it didn't really move the needle. You know, everything they do now, it's about January. I mean, it really is. And that's what's tough. I mean, you don't want to wish the season away or wish the regular season away. And this, we talked about this with the Orioles, with what's going on right now with playing the Phillies and the Yankees and the excitement of this week, that everyone's focused on ramifications for October, but enjoy the journey. But when you've been on that journey so many times and you've thought that this is the year, and we've talked about that, especially in 19 and last year for the Ravens, you know, you got to break through. And if Derrick Henry helps them break through, then who cares how much money they paid him then? It was well worth it. But if it ends up being much of the same in January, then we'll look at it and say, not that it was a bad move, but you'll say, didn't really move the needle at the end of the day because X, Y, and Z still needed to happen and didn't. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But again, Derrick Henry's a blast to watch. I'm not down on the player. It was always for me about allocation of limited cap resources and questioning whether I would have done it a different way. But again, I'm not a NFL GM, so I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just, I had an opinion and a thought about it, and I'm firmly in the camp of not paying running backs. You know, the 49ers just paid Christian McCaffrey a whole bunch more money. And I suspect in a couple of years, they're probably going to regret that. But for right now, Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in football. So he's going to help you win games and he's helped them go to Super Bowls and everything. So
I think they've all accepted dead money in the cases of this. And I think the Dodgers accept dead money in baseball and the Yankees do too. It's just, they look at that.
Well, you have to in baseball.
At that 30, 40, 50 million off the top, that it doesn't matter to them. Matters a lot to, you know, the Royals or the Orioles or the Pirates. And it matters certainly in a football sense of opportunity cost. You know, the money sunk into Derrick Henry, it's not going to be sunk into a right guard or right tackle that becomes available.
Yeah. Well, and in fairness, Eric DaCosta would say, okay, Luke, what guard did you want what guard did you want to sign? Did you want to bring back Kevin Zeitler? And I'm guessing privately, no one's ever said this, but Kevin Zeitler had a balky knee at the end of last year. Now, I think he still played well, but I'm guessing there was probably some doubts in terms of how he was going to age with that being an additional concern.
And now, all that we'll being said, they have Ronnie Stanley as like, you're like, to me, there's no bigger question mark. Well, maybe Marlon, but maybe not. Ronnie Stanley's a bigger question mark than anything I can think of with a team to say, are we really getting 20 football games out of him this year at whatever caliber you need to get it out of him? And what's the backup plan? And that's the problem with the offensive line. To my way of thinking, it's a little bit of a house of cards. Like, I love the center. I love the center. I don't love Linderbaum's the left tackle. Yeah. And I don't know enough about the rest of it to be enamored with any of it or to have, if I'm a better, you know, to bet on the Ravens to win or not, to look at their offensive line and say, I can't bet on that. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah. And to go back to what we were talking about with the Derrick Henry in January argument, there's another thing. If the Ravens breaking through, I'm guessing they're getting a healthier, better version of Ronnie Stanley than they've gotten in recent years. I mean, I think that's
I would
just
not
the
bet
truth,
on that. So I would bet against that. I would bet against Stanley before I would bet against Zeitler.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here. I respect Ronnie Stanley for the fact that he was in the building all spring and he was out there for all the OTAs. I think he's really, from a preparation, dedication, self-awareness standpoint, has really risen to the moment of understanding where he is in his career at this point in time. But I think you're right. I think one of the biggest factors that will determine this offensive line, and I'll push back on one thing that you said. I don't even need it to be 20 games, Nestor. It can be 15 or 16, but among those 16 games, those need to be the games they're playing in January, right? He can miss 3 weeks in October when he tweaks a hamstring or something like that. But as long as he comes back and is playing and healthy and effective in January, that's what matters. But will we see that? And to your point, you mentioned the house of cards. You feel great about Linderbaum. We're kind of viewing Ronnie Stanley as an is. We're kind of assuming Ronnie Stanley is going to be, you know, he doesn't need to be the 2019 Ronnie Stanley. And he's not being paid like that anymore, mind you. But he needs to be a better version of what we saw in December and January last year. I mean, he absolutely does. And he flat out admitted this week. He said it was killing him on the inside. Even as they were playing so well down the stretch last year, he knows he wasn't playing up to his potential. He knows he was struggling. He knows he was not very good. But, you know, at the same time, they don't need him to be all pro, just be a dependable version of himself. And if he can do that, then yeah, it's way easier to have confidence in whoever's going to be left guard, which I think is going to be Andrew Voorhees. Minicamp, it felt like they're confident in Voorhees at left guard. Now, right guard and right tackle, I'm not sure at this point in time. You know, I already said to you a couple of days ago, the Ben Cleveland hype train, I feel like has slowed down for a third straight spring. So we'll see. And, you know, with Rosengarten, it's just a matter of him getting reps and whether he's going to be ready week one, you know, to be the starting right tackle. I don't know. That's a lot to put on a second round pick. And I like him. I like the pick. But yeah, if Ronnie Stanley becomes a concern in addition to those spots, then we're not going to be talking about it's not going to be the current concern is not going to be Derrick Henry running the ball. And they'll still be able to run the ball because even when they haven't had great offensive lines the last few years, the Lamar effect still helps them so much. But we're going to be concerned about the O-line and, you know, no concerns or solutions or anything like that are going to come out of mandatory minicamp, but they're playing around with different combinations. Right guard and right tackle, I think, is still very much up in the air. I think they want Voorhees at left guard. I think he's, I'll say this, the leader in the clubhouse at left guard more distinctly than right guard or right tackle feels right now. But if Stanley becomes a big concern or isn't out on the field or he's not playing well or whatever, yeah, the O-line is going to be the topic of conversation, and Derrick Henry or whoever, whatever running back is running the ball or if guys you could have signed or whatever. We're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Lamar Jackson running for his life and worrying about his health and worrying about this offense being able to function at a high level. So, yeah, hey, it's a calculated risk. They said, you know what? We're not betting on Kevin Zeitler. We're not betting on Morgan Moses to fight off Father Time for another year, especially with the money they're going to make. We're going to go younger. We like some of the guys we have. We drafted, you know, Rosengarten. They could still go out there and acquire someone. I think that's still very much in play between now and the trade deadline, let's say, not even week one. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but a lot of spots to fill on the O-line. You know, I mean, one spot, that's kind of annual cost of doing business, right? I mean, they've gone into training camp having one spot up for grabs. It's been left guard the last few years. But to be in a position where you have three and one of the other two that's a known commodity is a guy who hasn't been as good and has been on and off the field and had the chronic, you know, terrible ankle injury 4 years ago. By the way, it's crazy that was 4 years ago at this point, you know, with Ronnie Stanley. But, you know, they've got to figure this out. And I'm not saying they won't, but these are very real, serious questions for a football team that has Super Bowl aspirations. I mean, you know, dare I say in the history of football, Super Bowl era, you know, how many Super Bowl winners had three new starters on the offensive lineup? I'm sure it's happened, but Yeah, that's not an area that you want a lot of turnover necessarily, unless you're talking about a really bad O line. And it wasn't bad last year. It's just it was getting older and a little banged up down the stretch. So, we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, my focus has been way more on that than how Derrick Henry has looked, because Derrick Henry's looked perfectly fine in the spring, but how's that all going to come together in September? We're all intrigued because there are a lot of new moving parts to this operation as they try to grow in year two under Todd Monken.
I love the player. Derrick Henry will be successful, quotes Luke Jones. So you can find Luke at Baltimore Luke. He will be out on the interwebs. We had a nice little conversation there about the Ravens. I think we're going to put the Ravens away for a little bit here. It's baseball season. Phillies, Yankees, Guardians, Astros, all like around the corner around here, but a great summer ahead, and hopefully the Ravens players stay out of jurisprudence, out of the headlines, off the Instagrams and the interwebs. And when do we? When will the next appearance be? July 25th? What is it?
It is not set yet. They usually send out the training camp schedule in the next week and a half or so, but I'm guessing, I think somewhere around July 23rd, 24th, that feels about right. They start the season September 5th. It's that earlier September start, because Labor Day is so early in September, as we look at the NFL calendar on an annual basis. So we're about five and a half weeks out. It's not quite as long of a break as we think. It feels like, and heck, if the NFLPA gets its way, they'll be reconvening in early July, the way it sounds like in the future years. But they get some time off, and yeah, they're going to go away for a little bit. And as I've said throughout the spring, that's okay. You want quiet. You don't want any players getting arrested or guys getting injured working out, on their own, which happened a couple times last year. Their long snapper tore his Achilles before training camp started last year, if you remember. So those kind of things can happen. So yeah, quiet, go away, respite, work
play baseball,
out, make sure you're staying in shape,
have crab cakes,
and watch baseball if you're a fan.
And Luke becoming, by the next time we meet, will be an Uncle Deuce by the weekend. So Orioles all weekend long and all week long. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have the Gold Rush Sevens Doublers. The top prize is $10,000. We gave $20 away at Coco's on Wednesday, at Cooper's on Friday. I'm wearing my Costas shirt. We'll be at Costas in Dundalk on Thursday before the Orioles hopefully sweep away the Yankees in the Bronx. And then we're at Pappas on the 25th, which is the Tuesday. All of it brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping our water clean, as well as Jiffy Lube Multi-Care. New website up. We got lots of things happening around here. We got great summer baseball and really good weather. Enjoy yourself. Play all these fun games responsibly. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.